I think the first place I'm going to have you turn this morning is Psalm 75, if you want to turn your Bibles there. Psalm 75, verse 8. I'll make reference to a couple of other places before we get there, but that's the first place I'll have you turn as we consider this morning the cup from which Jesus drank. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that Jesus has done for us. We're going to think about some of that this morning. Help us to appreciate what he really did. And may our lives reflect our gratitude. Help us in this regard, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A cup is a vessel generally used to hold a beverage, which is then consumed. And to drink from the cup is consuming the beverage held in the cup. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, drink it all in, sometimes used as a figurative statement referring to the consuming of an experience, that is, making the most of something or getting the most out of what one sees or experiences. Jesus' experience on the cross is referred to as a cup. Remember what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26:39, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." We're going to think about that cup. But first, let's consider how the word cup is used in Scripture. On the one hand, it can refer to God's blessing. Remember Psalm 23 and verse 5? My cup does what? Runs over, referring to an abundance of God's blessing in our lives. Psalm 16 and verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance of my cup. Psalm 116 and verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation. On the other hand, the word cup can refer to God's wrath. Psalm 11 and verse 6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. And Psalm 75, verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. And the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. There is in Isaiah 51 and verse 17 the cup of God's fury, and in Ezekiel 23 verse 33 the cup of astonishment and desolation. And in Revelation 14, there is the cup of God's indignation. A cup is what God gives you to experience in life. The figure of a cup being extended to someone originally comes from a practice in ancient times where the master of a feast would extend a cup to the guests that are present. And so we have the imagery of the master of the universe extending a cup to us. He extended a cup to his son. And that's what we want to focus on for now. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. First Peter, chapter 1, and verse 18. Now, this cup that God extended to his son and Jesus referred to as a cup in his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane was prepared for him before creation. And that's what we have here in verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, that's why God could explain what was going to happen to Adam and Eve already in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where he says, remember, after Adam and Eve had sinned and were influenced to do so by the devil, he says to the devil in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The plan was already established before creation, and so that's why God could refer to it, to Satan, that early on in the existence of time and mankind. Let's go once again to Isaiah 53. I know we read through the entire chapter earlier in the service, but this is such an important passage of Scripture. It does us well to take particular note of it. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2. In the middle of the verse, we begin, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Imagine if you had been standing on that street in Jerusalem after Jesus had been beaten, had the crown of thorns placed upon his head, blood streaming from his body at various places. Not having eaten for quite some time, not having slept for quite some time. Bearing the heavy burden of the cross. Imagine what he would look like if you were one of those standing and watching him pass by. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, do you think he was happy going to the cross? Oh, he was happy to do it, but the doing of it was not happy. He was acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. How many people jeered at him? Well, it would have been rather common for people to do that back in those days. He was, after all, being treated as a criminal. He was being led to be crucified. The Romans were very much in control, and there weren't very many people who in the crowd were going to act like or sound like they were against the Romans. But how many of them had been in the crowds and listened to him speak, had seen his miracles, perhaps even expressed belief in him, and were too ashamed to look at him, and so they hid their faces. Verse 4, he hath borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And oh, those stripes. Can you hear the whip striking the flesh? And yet, they were for our healing. Verse 7, he was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressions, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This was the cup from which Jesus drank. Even for him it was distasteful. Remember Matthew 26, 39, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He not only said it once, he said it twice in verse 42 again. "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." How extreme was this cup? Well, when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke says in 22:44, "Being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground." Have you ever prayed that intensely? But Jesus was absolutely committed to drinking this cup. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine," he says, "be done." John 18, verse 7. John chapter 18 and verse 7. They came to the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest him. And in verse 7, then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" In other words, it has to be done. A lot of liquid medicines taste terrible. Did you ever notice that? Especially cough medicine, for whatever reason, tastes terrible. But what are the consequences of not taking medicine? Of course, the cross was distasteful to the Son of God. But what if he had not drank? From, how do you say that word? The right text, verb form, drinked from that cup. And Jesus drank deeply. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2 that he gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. That is to say, from Isaiah 53, verse 7, as a lamb to the slaughter, a sacrifice. No man took his life from him. He was not sacrificed by someone else. It was entirely voluntary. And he gave up so much to help so many. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Think of it. According to John chapter 5 and verse 26, Jesus had life in himself. That means he was the essence of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am life, he says. He had life in himself. There was no possibility that he would die or be killed unless he chose to do it himself. Thus we're told here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15, verse 16, verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took on human nature. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. He made reconciliation for the sins of the people as only he could. And that was the cup from which he drank. Did you know there's a cup for us to drink from? Mark chapter 10, verse 35. Mark chapter 10, verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left, and in thy glory. But Jesus said unto him, You know not what you ask. Poor James and John had no idea what they were talking about. So he asked them in verse 38, Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto them, We can. But then Jesus says the strangest thing. In verse 39, Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of. Whoa. Do you know what I think he was referring to? Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, Jesus hadn't been on the cross yet. They hadn't conceived of Jesus being on the cross yet. But Jesus uses the idea of a cross for his disciples. The only thing they would think of is what they have seen the Romans do to hundreds or thousands of people around the city, crucifying them on crosses. It meant death. Hmm. Peter eventually got it. And over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, he makes this statement. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. That was his cup. Leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. That's our cup. Now, that's not to say that Jesus wants you to suffer all of the time. How do I know that? Well, because of what he says over in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, where he says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, he says we can pray so that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. That doesn't sound like suffering, does it? Well, you know what? Jesus did not suffer his entire life here on earth. He only suffered when it was time to suffer and when it was necessary to suffer. And I believe that he is saying to us that there may be a time in our lives, and there may be a necessity for us to suffer. And when that time comes, be ready. To put it in reality terms, there have been numerous reports in recent years of government agencies targeting Christians. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. But we Christians who believe that abortion is murder and who believe that certain lifestyles are immoral, and that there's only one way to get to heaven, are really extremists, and all extremists are dangerous. If police or FBI agents would show up at your door and accuse you of hate crimes because you believe in Jesus and you believe there's only one way to heaven, and you do not accept the immoral lifestyle of people living around you, and you say they're wrong, would you plead guilty or not guilty? Let's see where we were, back in Mark chapter 8. Verse 35. Whosoever will save his life, in other words, when you're accused of those crimes, you plead not guilty so that you can survive. You lose your life. You lose your credibility. You lose your testimony for Jesus Christ. That's what you lose. But whosoever shall save his life, if you will plead guilty, for my sake and the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. In other words, you will have an impactful testimony for Christ. Verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Are we in an adulterous and sinful generation? Will we be willing to plead guilty to being affiliated with Jesus Christ and everything that he teaches? Or will we be ashamed of him and hide our association with him? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Is that what you want? To stand before the judgment seat of Christ and say, you had an opportunity, and I'm ashamed of you. Is that what you want? Think about the cup that Jesus drank for you. Think about how intense it was. Think about how torturous it was. Think about how agonizing it was. Think about how heart-wrenching it was for him. And then multiply that times the billions of people that have lived on this earth. Now think about the cup that Jesus asks you to drink of. One person enduring harassment, maybe persecution, for a little while. Compare the two. If Jesus did all of that for us, is it too much to ask of us to do a little for him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that Jesus did for us. May we do. May we be willing to do a little for him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.